Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining me this morning. Just a couple of updates on things, and then I'll open up your questions. I wanted just to speak a little bit about what's happening with the Missouri River flooding. My staff and I continue to remain in close contact with state, local, and federal authorities regarding the flooding situation along the Missouri River in South Dakota, and continue to be impressed by the perseverance of those assisting their friends and neighbors and those who are personally dealing with this devastating situation. Last Wednesday, I hosted a meeting with the head of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Major General Bo Temple, in my Washington, D.C. office, and we had some senators from neighboring Midwestern states who were affected by the flooding that also attended that meeting. And in addition to relaying the concerns I've been hearing from South Dakotans during my visits to the Fort Pierre and Dakota Dunes areas, I underscored the importance of the Corps being attentive and flexible with emergency measures necessary to protect lives and people's property. Additionally, I got a commitment from the Corps that clear lines of communication would be open at all levels of Corps management as the situation develops over the coming weeks and months. And as the situation progresses, I believe we're going to need to reevaluate the Corps' water management policies and procedures, including the master manual, which dictates the management of the Missouri River. I have, over the past 2 weeks, personally been in touch with all levels of the Army Corps of Engineer leadership on that particular issue, and we'll continue to meet with Corps officials on the ground as well as their leadership to make sure that they're aware of the severe impacts that these record release levels are having on our communities, and to ensure, that, again, that they are responsive to the needs of those who are most affected. The Corps' Missouri River management policies are becoming more and more frequently questioned by flood victims and many others, and I'm going to continue to work to ensure that the Corps answers the tough questions that they're being asked about how the situation unfolded so that we can prevent floods of this magnitude in the future. It's been noted by many throughout this situation that the Corps' first priority is supposed to be flood protection, and we want to make sure that flood protection was not compromised for other interests in their decision making. One other issue I wanted to mention: yesterday, perhaps you heard, the Senate voted on a controversial amendment offered by Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma that would have ended the blender's credit for ethanol and the tariff on imported ethanol. The amendment ultimately failed by a vote of 40-59. I strongly opposed the amendment and spoke out against it, including having discussions on the floor with Senator Coburn, as it would have essentially pulled the rug out from under the ethanol and other agribusinesses that have played by the rules of the game that were laid out by Congress late last year. And some of these folks have made critical biofuels investments based upon a set of rules and policies that Congress has created. And so for Congress to come in and just abruptly change the rules, pull the rug out from under these folks, was the completely wrong way to approach this. That being said, recognizing the difficult financial situation that we are faced with as a nation, earlier this week I introduced a bill along with my colleague, Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, that would help transition our country to a more sustainable model of incentives for domestic renewable fuel production while helping to reduce the nation's deficit by $1 billion. The bipartisan legislation that we introduced would end the existing 45-cent per gallon volumetric ethanol excise tax credit, what we refer to as VTEC, and end it on July 1 of this year instead of the current expiration date of December in 2011, and would dedicate $1.5 billion of that savings to renewable fuel infrastructure, helping provide consumers with lower gas prices, basically trying to get some investment in blender pumps. With 10% of our nation's fuel supply coming from ethanol, homegrown energy continues to play a very important role in reducing America's dangerous dependence upon foreign oil, and at the same time, it's creating jobs in South Dakota, American jobs across this country. So I'm going to continue to work with industry leaders, with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, that we to ensure that we take the thoughtful steps to reform our nation's federal biofuels policy, but certainly not the approach that was taken with the amendment that was offered yesterday. So the negotiations continue on that. I'm hopeful that they will yield a good outcome, a good result, but we will continue to try and resist and defeat any of these attempts to do what the amendment attempted to do that was offered yesterday. or it was voted on yesterday, I'm sorry. With that, I'd be happy to try and answer any questions you all have.